You're listening to the Power Hour on 99.5 WDCX FM, WDCX FM HD1, and AM 970 WDCZ Buffalo.
Good afternoon, Buffalo. Welcome to Christian Central Academy's 2023 Power Hour. My name is Isaac Castronoma with the Senior Communications class, and I'm here with my co-host, Rachel Renna. We have the pleasure to be joined with the rest of our communication students, along with our teacher, Ms. Pontarolo. We are coming to you live from WDCX radio station in downtown Buffalo.
Our senior communications class has been given this incredible opportunity to be here today, and we would like to thank General Manager of WDCX, Dr. Brett Larson. We are all seniors from Christian Central Academy, which is a non-denominational college preparatory Christian school from pre-K to 12th grade, located in the village of Williamsville. Our school provides a quality education centered around the teachings of Jesus Christ. Our administration, faculty, and staff strive to reflect the personality of Christ and encourage our students to have a personal relationship with Him.
Yes, yes, we are so glad you joined us today, and we want you to be part of this conversation. So please feel free to call in and share your thoughts. Jot down these numbers, 1-800-684-2848 or 1-716-883-5000. Before we get started, we have a song for you by Charity Gale, I Speak Jesus.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets,
Welcome back. Today we would like to share our hearts on several hot topics in the media, but with a biblical perspective. The first one is abortion. Do you realize that here in New York State, the current law allows for an abortion to take place up to 9 months of the pregnancy if the health or life of the mother is at risk? An estimated 121 million unintended pregnancies occurred between 2015 and 2019. And out of that 121 million pregnancies, 61% of them ended in an abortion. In New York State, there's an organization called the Bridget Alliance, which is a referral-based service that will pay and coordinate transportation, lodging, meal assistance, and childcare for women seeking an abortion from another state. This organization uses taxpayers' money to help cover the cost of transportation, lodging, meals, and childcare. Just think about that for a moment. Here are women wanting to end a life, and the Bridget Alliance very clearly supports that, yet they're willing to pay for any childcare the mother needs. We just celebrated the Christmas holidays, and the reason for them is the birth of Jesus. Has anyone ever thought about Mary having an abortion? Of course not. Jesus was born to save us from our sins, and Joseph adopted him as his own. What a beautiful display of love.
But Rachel, then there was a King Herod in the book of Matthew who wanted the execution of all baby boys under the age of 2 in the town of Bethlehem, and also King Pharaoh who wanted all newborn baby boys killed.
But Isaac, here's what happened. After Pharaoh had ordered all the firstborn male babies to be killed, one woman, Jochebed, looked desperately for a way to save her newborn son. She hid him in a basket made of reeds and left him on the riverbed, knowing that the Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe there. Sure enough, Pharaoh's daughter discovered the baby floating in the river. She took pity on the baby, whom she guessed was an Israelite. She knew the baby would certainly be killed if he was discovered. As she had no children of her own, she decided to bring the baby up herself. She called him Moses. She came across Moses' sister, Miriam, on the riverbank and asked her to find a nurse. The nurse she found was Moses' mother. So Moses was brought up and educated as an Egyptian and had a comfortable life growing up in the Pharaoh's palace.
That sounds really nice. I feel really moved to talk about my story because it really reminds me of Moses' story. I was adopted when I was 2.5 years old. I'm 18, so if you can do math, it's been about 16.5 years since I was brought to America, and I often get asked if I remember Haiti much. I've gotten the privilege going back to Haiti multiple times with my church and with my parents. It's a really beautiful time. But let me say this. Adoption is beautiful, and it's amazing, but it always, always, always has pain and death attached to it. It's kind of something weird that you might not think about. Either a spiritual death or a relational death or sometimes even a physical death. And in my situation, in my case, it was a physical death, unfortunately. My mother died shortly after my birth, and due to reasons to us, we don't really know. So with the sting of death still on my father's heart, he still had to carry on with his newborn and, you know, other young children, my half-siblings that were running around. And now a single father with no natural resources to take care of his newborn, like Moses' mother, he had to give me up to a children's home out of love. It was out of love, though. Don't mistake that. My life was reserved and not cut off because of the hard situation that happened. I want to emphasize the point that my father could have left me for dead on the side of the road, or I could have even been aborted. Think about that. But out of love, I was reserved. Out of love. I can honestly say that Psalms 22:10 is something that is real in my life. And that verse is, "From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. From my mother's womb, God has been there for me." This is a reality in my life, and if abortion is your decision or something that you're debating about, I want to ask you, especially if you're a Christian, I want to ask you, is that out of security, insecurity, or shame or guilt? Is that out of love? Because if it is out of insecurity or shame or guilt, it's only from the devil. And it's from the enemy who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's not from God, who comes to bring life and to bring it abundantly. I was given to a children's home where they fed me. I guess a chubby, as a newborn, they called me a nickname. And that nickname was Fat Joe. And now I think about it, it's pretty cruel. But, you know, we were just having our fun back then. I was taken care of and fed and, you know, I had a nice place to stay, but meanwhile, my parents-to-be, the Casanovas in America, felt God leading them to adopt a child from Haiti. With a lot of searching, a lot of paperwork, God brought them a child, and they were set to adopt him. His name was Stevie Josiah, but it wasn't God's plan for the Casanovas to raise him on his own, because Stevie died as an infant. And while they were in the process of adopting Stevie, he died. And so with heavy hearts, the Casanovas waited on God because they believed the journey of adoption wasn't over for them. But God stepped in, because within 2 weeks, the children's home contacted them to tell them that though there were no boys up for adoption, one all of a sudden became available. I guess you can guess who it is. And that boy was Isaac Anna, who was needing a home. And 2.5 years later, I stepped foot on American soil for the first time. It was a long 5-year journey for my mama, and she's written a book about God's faithfulness in the waiting.
Isaac, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
What is your child learning at school? Christian Central Academy would like to invite you to visit our school to show you what a Christian worldview education looks like. Your child has the opportunity to shadow a class in his or her current grade for a day and experience the different aspects of a Christ-centered education. Christian Central Academy is a pre-K through 12th grade Christian college preparatory school located at 39 Academy Street in the village of Williamsville. For further information, you can visit us anytime at christianca.com. We want you to be a part of our community.
As a student at Christian Central Academy, you have the opportunity to join several basketball teams starting at 5th grade. There are also middle school JV and varsity teams that are all part of the Interstate Athletic Conference and the girls' varsity team that is part of the Monsignor Martin B. The home games are played in our beautiful new gymnasium. If you want to support our teams, you can find all game days on our athletic calendar, posted on our website christianca.com, or at least appreciate your support.
Come and watch our annual spring play put on by the drama department called Radium Girls on Friday, March 17th and Saturday, March 18th at 7 p.m. The play is based on a true story set in a dystopian society in the year 1926, and the chemical radium is considered a miracle cure until girls who use this chemical to paint watches mysteriously begin to fall ill with a disease. The story follows a girl named Grace who finds herself battling not just with the U.S. Radium Corporation, but also with her own family and friends, who fear that her campaign for justice will backfire. Tickets will be available in the Nerline Lawrence Auditorium. For adults, tickets will be $12 and $8 for students.
Join us for our second annual drive-through Easter experience. It will take place on March 24th from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the evening. Learn with us about the true meaning of Easter and the sacrifice God made for us all. For more information, please visit us at our website, christianca.com.
Welcome back. Let me give you our telephone numbers again, so you can please feel free to give a call in, because we have a live call in time towards the end of the program, and so here are the numbers. 1-800-684-2848 or 1-716-883-5000. We would like to talk about another topic today that is near and dear to our hearts. It is sex and human trafficking. With the Super Bowl coming up, it is noted that there is an increase in sex and human trafficking in the host city, which is pretty scary to think about. The U.S. Department of State estimates that approximately 14,000 to 17,000 people are trafficked in the United States each year. Estimates suggest that, you know, internationally, only about 4% of survivors of human trafficking cases are identified, meaning that the vast majority of cases of human trafficking go undetected, which is really, really sad. Human trafficking earns global profits of roughly $150 billion a year for traffickers and $99 billion of the commercial sexual exploitation.
Also, globally, an estimated 71% of enslaved people are women and girls, while men and boys account for 29%. In 2018, over half of the criminal human trafficking cases active in the U.S. were sex trafficking cases involving only children. Reports indicate that a large number of child sex trafficking survivors in the U.S. were at one time in the foster care system. 15,000 to 50,000 women and children are forced into sexual slavery in the United States every year, and the total number varies wildly, as it is very difficult to research. Physical abuse. Traffic victims are often beaten and brutalized, raped and sexually abused. Victims are also frequently deprived of adequate food, shelter, and sleep.
Man, more than 2,700 human trafficking victims are rescued in the Interpol Coordinated Operation. An operation targeting human trafficking in South and Central America has resulted in the rescue of more than 2,700 victims. 134 arrests and dismantling of all at least seven organized crimes networks, which is somewhat good, but still, I don't think it's enough. It advocates report growing trends of traffickers using online social media platforms to recruit, advertise, and target human trafficking. So basically, if you go on Instagram and you get this like weird message from someone, that could be a trafficker. So we really need to be careful with our children. The average teen enters the sex trade in the U.S. from 12 to 14 years, and many victims are runaway girls who were sexually abused to children. 24.9 million people are victims of forced labor. In 2017, 60 million people are trafficked, were trafficked for forced labor in private economy. And economy includes individuals, groups, or companies, all in sectors except for commercial sex industry. In 2017, 4.8 million people were trafficked for forced sexual exploitation, which is disgusting. In 2017, 4.1 million were trafficked for forced labor in state-imposed forced labor, and it is estimated that 20.9 million people were trafficked worldwide in 2017. 3.8 million adults were trafficked for forced sexual exploitation, and 1 million children are trafficked for commercial sexual exploitation, according to the International Labor Organization.
Isaac, also remember in the Old Testament, the Egyptians forced the Israelites into slavery for over 400 years. Mm. That is a form of trafficking. And what about Joseph being sold by his brothers into slavery? Mm. Here are some verses of scripture that we believe relate to abortion and human trafficking. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body."
In Psalms 139:13 through 16 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Your eyes saw my unformed body. In the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be."
Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, "Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations."
Mm. And Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper way to worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
Matthew 6, verse 22 through 23. "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?"
Mm. Philippians 1, 20 says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have a sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death."
1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it."
Mm. Psalms 103 says, "That know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture."
Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "You shall not murder."
Short and sweet, huh? Psalms 127 and 3 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward for him."
Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community."
Mm. Genesis 1, 27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them."
Isaiah 49 verse 15, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you."
And Psalms 22:10 says, "From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God."
We are just about out of time. We have enjoyed sharing our hearts with all of you today. Please stay tuned for news, sports, and weather, and then we will have another half hour coming up with more hot topics for you to weigh in on.
Good afternoon. This is Hannah with the news. The heat is turned up for the upcoming 2024 election, with major states turning red and some swing states remaining blue. It will be a race to the finish. President Biden has yet to announce if he will be running in the upcoming election, and so whoever makes it past the primary is still up for debate. Some potential Democratic candidates are Gretchen Whitmer and Josh Shapiro, who are both governors of Democratic states. For the Republican Party, our 45th President Donald Trump has announced his candidacy. Still, some other potential Republican candidates are Ron DeSantis, who has been the governor of Florida since 2019, and Mike Pompeo, who is the former Secretary of State. It may still be too early to know who will enter into the primary, but based on recent information, these governing officials will potentially run for office in the 2024 election. In the recent election of our governor, Kathy Hochul, people have shared their concerns for the future of New York State. A poll taken by Siena College have revealed that 58% said she did not make communities safer from crime, and this was a major argument made by Republican opponent Lee Zeldin. And with more recent news, Hochul has just suffered a historic loss in becoming the first governor who lost their bid on appointing the state's top judge. She was met with opposition from her Democratic colleagues at Wednesday's confirmation hearing. This is the first time that New York lawmakers have denied a gubernatorial nominee. Kathy Hochul was quick to denounce and undermine the committee's honor and state, "While this was a thorough hearing, it was not a fair one, because the outcome was predetermined. This decision has caused conflict and tension to rise within not just the committee, but the entire government as well." As Hochul calls for the full Senate to take action, regarding Hochul's decision, the committee chairman, Manhattan Senate Brad Holliman's sigil, states, "I hope that litigation is not our future. It's the governor's decision, but we have so much work to do in Albany. To be distracted by a lawsuit would be a travesty for the people of New York." But from what we can tell, Kathy Hochul seems firm on her decision to sue. While speaking about her nominee, she compares him to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the opposition he was met with in the civil rights era during her speech in a Brooklyn church. "The future of New York State is looking bleak if changes are not soon made, and if the people's trust is not restored in their governor." And now here's Shantanu with the sports.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Shantanu with your sports update. This year, the Super Bowl is being held at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. The Super Bowl halftime show is Rihanna, and she will perform her most famous songs. There are four teams playing for a spot in the big game: the Cincinnati Bengals, San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Kansas City Chiefs. You can watch the NFL Super Bowl on the ESPN and Fox channels or any online streaming service. As of last week, we found that this year's AFC Championship will be against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia are grieving how the divisional game went, with the Bengals beating the Bills by 27-10. Damar Hamlin was at the Bills game last Sunday. The doctors say that Damar Hamlin has made a remarkable recovery and continues to improve. Also, last week from the NFC, we got to know that 49ers have beaten the Cowboys by 19-12, and the Eagles had beaten Giants by 38-7. What this means is that NFC Championship is going to be against the Eagles and 49ers. When people think about the football season, they also think about the Pro Bowl. What is the Pro Bowl? It is an event similar to the Super Bowl, but played with a mixture of AFC and NFC. This year's Pro Bowl will be
held flag football style on the 5th of Feb in Vegas. NFL's got a tradition for the Pro Bowls where they choose two celebrity captains. This year, NFL has given these captain positions to Snoop Dogg and Pete Davidson. Snoop Dogg will be the captain of AFC and Pete Davidson will represent the NFC. Buffalo Bills posted on the website that they have selected their four best players to represent the Bills in the Pro Bowl. Who they are, you must be wondering. Well, those players are quarterback Josh Allen, wide receiver Stephon Diggs, safety Jordan Poyer, and center Mitch Morse. Bills, we hope you have a nice season, and go Bills. Here is Hannah with the weather.
The weather forecast for today is a cold 34 degrees, but it feels like 22. The sun is shining, but snow flurries are on the way.
You're listening to the Power Hour on 99.5 WDCX FM, WDCX FM HD1, and AM 970 WDCZ Buffalo.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying tuned into our radio program today. I am Omari Cunningham, and my co-host today is Maddie Belanti. We want you to be part of the conversation, so please feel free to call in and share your thoughts. Jot down these numbers, 1-800-684-2848 or 1-716-883-5000. Before we get started, we have a song for you by Phil Wickham. This is Amazing Grace.
Above all kings.
Wow, isn't that just a beautiful song displaying the love and grace of Christ? We want to continue our conversation from the first half hour on hot topics in the media with a biblical perspective. As parents, students, and really anyone in the world, education is a really important topic to discuss. Education is important because it affects the next generation, those who will be in our shoes next. And as a student, it is especially important to me. And although education should not be a partisan political issue, the fact of the matter is that like many things in society, it unfortunately is. The people we elect here in a representative democracy, like in the United States, will affect our education system, especially like a place here in New York State, where our Democratic governor, Kathy Hochul, recently won her election back in November of 2022. So the question is, what is the education agenda for this woman who is to be the governor of New York for the next 4 years? To start off, Kathy Hochul, on her official website, kathyhochul.com, has voiced her plan to invest $2.1 billion into the public schools of New York State, a plan that aims to solve the urgent problems of teacher and bus driver shortages. Finding workers has been a problem all across the workforce. However, when it impacts our future generation, it is especially severe.
This shortage in the workforce is so severe because without teachers, no one will be able to teach future generations. The shortages also create a lot of strain on the teachers who remain. They have to cover more classes than they usually would, and some classes and electives have to be canceled because there is no one to teach them. This stress causes even more teachers to resign, creating a vicious cycle. Low salaries have also discouraged people from pursuing teaching as a career. Some wages are so low that people can't live off of them, and they need to work multiple jobs just to survive. However, not all of Governor Hochul's proposals for education have been as uncontroversial. Although she has made efforts to support the school workforce, which is heavily needed in this time of recovering from the COVID pandemic, she has made another, more controversial effort regarding the COVID pandemic. That controversial effort would, of course, be regarding the COVID vaccine in schools.
Many are fearful around Governor Hochul's agenda regarding the COVID vaccines in schools. And this is because Hochul is not just recommending it for children in schools, it is very clear that she wants a full-on mandate for it in all schools. Now, although the messaging coming from Hochul is not extremely clear on the mandate, since she has not made no mention of a mandate since 2021, that seems to be an intentional move by our governor. The fact is that Kathy Hochul had to secure an election win, because up until her victory last November, she was simply serving out the rest of disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo's term. So now that she is governor for a full term, she no longer has to worry about taking an unpopular stance on a controversial issue for fear of losing office. So parents should know that a vaccine mandate for students is currently being discussed in Albany. As concerned parents, let your voice be heard by contacting your local representative. This information can be found on one of the three following websites: the New York State Assembly website, the New York State Government website, or the New York State Senate website.
The fact is that receiving a vaccine is a highly personal decision, especially vaccines that are still very new and the full effects of it are not yet fully understood. Now, as followers of God, we want to and should incorporate God's teachings into our daily lives, including politics and education.
Many believe that since the vaccine is a highly personal decision, that the government, including Governor Kathy Hochul, should not order or force a vaccine mandate on schools that would affect their children and force a highly personal decision to be made by the government.
I understand why people want to make decisions about their own health and keep vaccinations optional, and I can agree that we should not be mandating vaccinations. However, do we not have a moral responsibility to protect those who are unable to choose to receive the vaccine because of their pre-existing health conditions? So, therefore, is it a matter of personal choice or a moral responsibility to protect others? For example, with COVID-19, the moral responsibility discussion is even more significant, since those who are at the highest risk of severe symptoms include those who are not good candidates for receiving the vaccine, because those with weakened immune systems, such as cancer patients and those with chronic immune disorders, may not form the antibodies as intended, leaving them vulnerable. It is one thing to accept the risk of not getting the vaccine and dealing with the illness yourself, but what about the responsibility of you or your child giving that illness to someone who cannot fight it? I know that for me personally, if I either directly or indirectly gave an illness to someone who could not fight it, I would be guilt-stricken knowing that I may have been able to prevent it. We have to balance our right to free choice versus our responsibility to protect each other, clearly indicated in the Bible. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act." Since we have the ability to protect ourselves and others from devastating diseases, my question is it selfish not to do so? It is a popular cultural reference to ask, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If we look to Jesus as our example, his personal choice was never his focus. Instead, he sacrificed his personal desires for the good of all of God's children. Therefore, in a small way, can we not also sacrifice in order to protect God's children?
So, as it is very evident, the issue of vaccines is very controversial. On both sides, parents are concerned for the safety and security of their children, and this causes disagreement. However, this is one of the beauties of this thing we call American democracy, this experiment of American democracy. There will be disagreement, and this is how we keep our system in America running. Although we may not like it, this does affect every aspect of our country, and that is how we keep each other in check in such a broken and fallen world like ours. So, I do want to bring up a verse from the Bible that I believe is very applicable to the situation. In the book of 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 states, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." This verse is especially important as it gives a biblical example on education. Education is how we get our children to walk in the truth. However, in a broken world like ours, it can be sometimes hard to find the right truths. The Founding Fathers knew that. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison. They knew that we could not get things right all the time. This is why our country was set up in this way, to have civil and orderly debate. Sometimes there is a clear answer to who is right. Sometimes there is not. So it is important that we have discussion. And when it comes to something like our education system, where it is so, so important to get it right, it is important that we discuss. So if we want our children to walk in the truth, let's have this discussion in order to find God's truth. Before we end this portion of our program today, we'd like to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We see so much going on in our world today that has been prophesied about in the book of Revelation. We desire that you know Jesus as your personal Savior and will spend eternity with Him. So please say this prayer with me. Dear God, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believed that he prayed for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And before I continue, I just want to say that it is so important to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the only truth. There is no way to the Father except through Him. And if we do want to spend eternity with Him, if we do want salvation and if we do not want to perish, we must accept him as our Savior. So if you prayed that prayer today, please give us a call at WDCX radio station in downtown Buffalo at 1-800-684-2848 or 1-716-883-5000. We're going to take a short break with a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back to start our call-in time. So please give us a call.
Join us on Friday evening, April 28th from 4 to 7 o'clock for the Taste of CCA. There will be food from a multitude of nationalities, all prepared by the school community. The event will be held in the cafeteria and all proceeds will go towards the senior class missions trip to Costa Rica. This will be a fun event for everyone. Grab some friends and come and enjoy an evening of food and fellowship.
The senior class of 2023 covets your prayers as we embark on a missions trip to Costa Rica. We will be visiting orphanages, performing skits for the villagers, and sharing the word of God. We will be leaving on May 31st and returning on June 7th. If you wish to support our class, please call 716-634-4821, or you can visit us at christianca.com. We greatly appreciate your prayers and any financial support you can give us. Join us on Friday evening, June 2nd, for our annual Grace Race. It is a certified 2K walk or a 5K run. It will take place at 39 Academy Street in the village of Williamsville, beginning at 5 o'clock in the evening. The Grace Race is an annual fundraiser for our school. To register for the race, please visit us closer to the date at christianca.com.
On Monday, July 17, Christian Central Academy is hosting a golf tournament at East Aurora Country Club. There will be prizes, a steak dinner, and a time for you to enjoy with your friends. For more information about the tournament, please visit our website closer to the date at christianca.com.
Something's different ever since. I can't keep hallelujah off my lips now.
You make me wanna sing all about your love. Make me wanna tell the whole world what you've done. How you turned my life around. I was lost but now I'm found. You're the song stuck inside my head all day. Yeah, you make me wanna sing, sing, sing all about you.
Bird, fade like a child. Your love is a river, and that river's running wild. People think I'm crazy for the way I'm acting lately. That's true. I'm crazy about you, and you make me wanna sing all about your love. Make me wanna tell the whole world what you've done, how you turned my life around. I was lost, but now I'm found. The song stuck inside my head all day.
Before we continue, I have a theory on why Jesus Christ songs are beautiful. I think it's because he's beautiful. I don't think I know. Feel free to call in. We're going to ask about the education system, the topics we discussed here, abortion, human trafficking, even the vaccines. Just feel free to talk in and discuss. We have our whole group here, and you can hear from many of us on these very complex yet very, very important topics. With the vaccines and with things like the education system, as we displayed, the vaccines are very personal, a very highly personal decision on both sides of the political aisle. On one side, you do have the people who thinks that this whole problem would be solved if we just made people get the vaccine, if the government coerced them into doing that. And on the other side, you have the people, many people, who believe that this is a personal choice, which it is. And the thing is that the media would have you believe that these people don't exist about the personal choice, that people who believe that vaccine is a personal choice are few and far between, but it's many more people than you think. So we have a call from, it looks like, Dolores. Hello, Dolores. Sorry.
I have a question for Isaac.
All right, we have a question for Isaac.
Yes, hello. This is Isaac.
Are you thankful for your adoption?
Can you say that one more time?
Are you thankful for your adoption?
Yes, yes. I think my family, I think God really blessed me with my family and the situation that I have. Obviously, like I said, adoption could be very painful, but, you know, you only build endurance with pain. You only build strength with more weight. And so I really appreciate God and the way he did it and the family that I have and the connection I have with a lot of people because of that adoption.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it.
So, as displayed, adoption is a very beautiful thing, also a very complicated thing. I just want to ask the group here with me. Obviously, as displayed, adoption can be very good but also painful. What do you think we could do to encourage more people to put their children up for adoption instead of choosing the route of abortion? Maddie?
I really think that if we as Christians want to decrease the number of abortions, we have to take the initiative and set up more programs for these people. We can't just tell them, like, don't get an abortion, but provide nothing for them. Like, it is our duty to help people, and I really think that we need to help and be encouraging. Like, we, like, do not judge them for their decisions, because this is, like, this is a hard position that they're put in, and it's such a personal choice, and we just need to provide love and support.
And just to add to that, a couple weeks ago, I was learning Bible class at CCA. One of the unique features of CCA, they actually teach about the Bible. You won't find that in many schools these days. Sad, sad, sad. But the thing is that my Bible teacher was telling me that, and the whole class, which this would include the group with me, is that one of the directives that Jesus gave was that all Christians should adopt, and at least try to adopt if they have the means to do so. But the fact of the matter is that most Christians won't adopt. They won't even think about adopting, which is sad. It's not just sad because we're not helping these children. It's sad because we are disobeying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did tell us that thou shalt not kill, and we will, most of us, follow that directive. But when it comes to something like adoption, many of us just won't follow that, whether it's because of ignorance or pure just ignoring him. And yes, adoption is a scary thing, both for the adopter and the adoptee. As Isaac displayed, he was not just adopted in his home country. He was brought to a different land, another country. And that is very scary, both for him and his parents. But the thing is that we can do all things through Christ. And although adoption is very scary and that adoption can scare us, if we just recognize that Jesus Christ is there for us, adoption wouldn't be such a scary thing. And not only does adoption would help end things like the rampant epidemic of abortion in this country, it would also end another thing, which we discussed, human trafficking. A lot of times, the human trafficking situations go a little like this. The parents of the people who are trafficked, they did one thing correct, which they did not choose abortion. They moved on, and they had the beautiful, beautiful child. However many times, they still don't have the means to raise this child. And a human trafficker will come along and provide the supposed means to support this child and support these parents. But if more Christians were just open to adoption, it would prevent many of these scenarios, like human trafficking. So, thank you for joining us today and allowing us to share our hearts with you. Stay tuned for news, sports, and weather coming right up.
Good afternoon. This is Hannah with the news on the Broadway Market. In January 2021, a business plan concerning the Broadway Market in Buffalo was published stating details about upcoming renovations. Within this plan, they expressed their need to bring life back to this historic market, where hundreds of thousands of regional citizens have come to celebrate their annual Labor Day and Thanksgiving Day parades, centered at the market. They highlight the struggle malls and department stores have been facing since the pandemic, and the promise these new public markets have. They believe these patrons don't just come to public markets to squeeze tomatoes, but rather come to experience the feel, sights, sounds, and smells only a public market can offer. The city leaders intend to create a powerful engine for the region's economy, community, agriculture, and food system. They are hoping to turn this 133-year-old market into a regional destination by this upcoming summer. In the business plan, they wish to replace elevators with new freight and passenger elevators and make over the second floor parking and ramps so they are bright, attractive, safe, and accessible. The market has largely since been untouched, but Governor Kathy Hochul has recently announced on the 25th of April last year that a $37 million investment will be added to the state's funding. This money will make a huge difference in Buffalo's future and put the city on the map. A man named Aaron Zetsky, who is one of many in charge of this plan, states, is not going to happen next week. It's going to happen over a several-year period. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of cooperation, but I think the elements are very much in place. Zarzetsky has worked on more than 50 public markets, so it seems that the city of Buffalo is in good hands. There's little we know about the possible renovations, and details are slim, but all we can do is sit back and wait to see these promised changes take place. Now here's Shantanu with the sports.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Shantanu with the sports update. Let's talk about the new stadium that is being built in Orchard Park. Many people in Buffalo feel that the Bills Stadium should include a dome or a roof to prevent a bad weather like a snowstorm, because the architects are already installing an inside bowl and a stacked seating arrangement for Bills Mafia at home games. $1.4 billion will be spent to create the new stadium. Bills Mafia is grateful for Erie County as they give $250 million, NFL for giving $550 million, New York State for giving $600 million and Buffalo Bills for creating this new stadium and giving the rest of the money to build a new stadium. This stadium will have a radiant heating system for the Bills Mafia to relax and watch the game. The downside of the stadium is that it will only include 60,000 seats, which is less than the original Bill Stadium, which has over 71,000 seats.
The communications class of Christian Central Academy would like to thank General Manager Dr. Brett Larson, Neil Boron, host of NBL, Executive Producer Carrie Worth, and Board Operator Solomon Leatherland for helping us produce this year's Power Hour. We want to give special thanks to our talk show host, Isaac Castronova, Rachel Renna, Omari Cunningham, Madeline Belanti, our news and weather director, Hannah Holman, and our sports director, Shantanu Saxena.